So good to see you this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a couple different scriptures, spending most of the time in Luke chapter 23. We're beginning a series today, and I'm entitling it Better Together. I talked about it a bit last week, and today the focus is going to be on your support system and what does that look like. How fitting it is on today, Veterans Day, that we talk about this, because in the military, I've learned this by following and reading and studying the military. It's not so much about who is the strongest person in the group, especially like with Navy SEALs and their training. It's not so much about who has the, looks the most intimidating. It's not the fact even of who is the most talented person. The strength in any kind of military effort comes as the bridge, as the network, as the support among the group takes place, where we're looking out for each other in this group, where we're supporting it when we've got each other's back. That's when the strength comes. And I want to share this morning as we begin this series on Better Together, our strength will come in the body of Jesus as there is a support system in place. Amen. That's the focus. That's the goal. In fact, I had a book. My father-in-law gave me this 8 years ago this month entitled 11 Indispensable Relationships You Can't Live Without. And basically what this gentleman did, Leonard Sweet, who's an amazing speaker, theologian, writer, talked about, he used the movie Ocean's 11, and he turned that into a word picture or a template for us as followers of Jesus, that we need meaningful relationships in our lives. In fact, if you look through the contents, I'm not going to read the book to you, he said you need to have a Nathan, who's your editor. You need to have a Jonathan, who's a true friend. You need to have a Jethro, who gives you a kick in the seat of the pants. I cleaned that up a little bit. You need to have a Timothy, who's a protege. You need to have a Barnabas, who's an encourager. You need a Peter or Paul, who's your Yoda. You need a Deborah, who has got your back covered. You need a Zacchaeus, who's a reject, and there's importance in that. You need a Rhoda, who's the little one? Who are your VIPs? You need a Lydia, a Lazarus, a rich and a poor. Where's your Jerusalem? You need a place. And then number 12, he adds, you need a paraclete. So I thought that was powerful, and we'll probably make reference to that in the weeks ahead. But the focus in these next several weeks on into the new year is this idea of better together. Would you say that with me? Better together. That's going to be the key. We're going to begin, I know I told you Luke 23, but we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 tells us that the responsibility that we have as a staff, that Sarah and Dan and I have as a staff, is to, it says in Ephesians 4, to equip the saints for ministry. Now, I don't know, did I put that slide up there, the scripture? Is that up there? There it is. Look at what he says. As the equipping is taking place, and that's what our responsibility is. Our responsibility is to equip, okay? We're to come alongside you to give you the tools. We're coming alongside you to encourage you. We're to come alongside you to cheer for you. If you do well, we're here to say, that's it. That's awesome. Keep up the great work. We're here to also cry with you in case things go wrong and say, sorry that happened. We're here to step now through this tough time with you. But after all that, or while all that's happening, notice what Paul writes here. We're speaking the truth in love, we're equipping, we're building, and then as that takes place, we are growing up in every respect to be that mature body, the body of Jesus, and Jesus is the head of that body. From him, the whole body is joined together, every supporting ligament does its part, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its job. So here's Sarah, Dan, and myself, Jim, Dan, and Sarah, Sarah, Dan, and Jim. We're all just like interchangeable parts now. And as we're working together, our job is to equip. Our job is to encourage. Our job is to build you up. And then you are now working as the body is now growing and built up. How does this happen? Interesting. He says in that first verse, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth. And we're gonna look at that in just a second. But in this New Testament model of better together, we see that this one another idea, or this better together idea, is mentioned many times. In fact, 59 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another, and the Greek word for that, if we could look at that, is allelon. And I don't want to go through a whole lesson, but it basically just means one another. It just basically means better together. In the New Testament, believers are exhorted to engage in activities that enable the body of Jesus to function effectively, in other words, grow spiritually. In other words, there are no lone rangers in the body of Jesus. You understand that? Now, there may be some people that seem to have more of an exposure than others. There may be those that pastor a larger church or function in a wider, you know, there's a Beth Moore model and these others that have such great and broad influence. But all of us, even a Beth Moore or others who have great exposure and influence, have a support system in place to make that happen. I'm so grateful for John and him leading our worship week by week. I'm grateful for all those, for Lorraine and all the others that are part of our worship team here. I'm grateful for the Sunday school teachers. I'm grateful for the sound booth. Everybody plays a part in this, and we are truly better together. Now, we're going to see over these next several weeks, these 59 statements, and Paul gives us 40 of them, work into about 12 different categories of one another. These are the tried and tested 12 that show us how the body will function the way that God wants it to function. And it's interesting, just like if your body, and I know we've had people in and out of the hospital, what a blessing to see John Wedmore back with us today, and Deb Barton's out of the hospital but not ready to be back at church, and so many of Mary Hensley's been in and out of the hospital. We all understand that when something in our body doesn't work properly, we get in trouble. Whether it's something like a pulled muscle, a pinched nerve, a clogged artery, a broken bone, infection, whatever it is, the whole body, when that happens, takes note and deals with it. And that's what we look at in this model of better together, is that the body takes note of that. We pray over each other. We encourage each other. We support each other, one another. And the way as the body, human body works, blood flow is vital. Oxygen getting throughout the body, blood flow is vital. The same thing is true in the body of Jesus. Love flow is vital. His love at work in us. In fact, over a third of these times when this one another shows up, the word love has something to do with it. In Colossians 3:14, Paul said this, "Put on love, which binds all of them together in perfect unity." That's how the body is held together, is with his love. In 1 Peter, the writer agrees, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." Jesus started this back in John chapter 13 when he said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That's our sign. That's our creed. That's how this one another functions. I just want to give you that up front before we actually get into the one another statements. The one another functions as the love of Jesus functions through our lives. We have to be mindful of this, that no matter what we do in the body, our function, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, if we're not flowing in the love of Jesus, then the body is not going to work properly. Does that make sense? If we go out and we claim that we have this outreach, we have this great teaching ministry, we have this great prayer ministry, we have this great music ministry, we have a great outreach into the community, we've got a big Thanksgiving dinner coming, and we have all that happening. But if love is not functioning throughout the body, we're in trouble. We're in trouble, you know? It's like that, but well, you know, except for that bypass surgery, my life's going pretty well. You know, I mean, I hear people say this, that was serious surgery. Yeah, it is, but same thing in the body of Jesus. If love is not flowing through our body, the body of Christ, just as blood flows through the veins, we're in trouble. Now, one more scripture I want to give you. Paul says it in Philippians 1, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that so you may be able to discern what is best and may be what? Pure and blameless for the day of Christ." It all hinges on that first phrase, love abounding more and more. If you don't love somebody, you can't minister to somebody. Does that make sense? I was thinking, and not just to make a big deal of this, although it was a pretty cool deal. When I look in our church, we've got guys like Leonard Reese and Bobby Adams who are township trustees. Neither Leonard or Bobby do that job for the title. Neither Leonard or Bobby do that job for the money. Leonard and Bobby do that job because they want to help people. It's all about ministering to people. And that's the same, this love that we have in the body of Jesus, Paul says. Able to discern what is best, pure and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus to the glory and praise of God. The best way to do that is together. That's the best. That's the model that's been set up for us in God's Word. Now, let's get into the scripture on into the main reading, which is over in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and that's where the story is after the crucifixion. And we're going to talk about some ladies today, beginning at the very end of chapter 23 in Luke, verse 55. Luke 23, 55, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. They rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day, now Luke chapter 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he has told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others who had told this to the disciples. Let's talk about that this morning. Your support system. And this is the key thing, okay? Just like Navy SEALs and other military people support one another, and that's the key to success, the same thing with us. Never intended to go through this alone, obviously, but it's important that we have a support system in place. And this is the key. Your support system must be based on the right thing. We need a support system. I think about this morning. We're here in this sanctuary, and many have given in this room. Your tithes and offerings have been given so that we can be here. There have been many others who have given long before we ever showed up. We celebrated last year the 100th birthday of our church. Over those first 100 years, there are people that gave faithfully, gave sacrificially, that gave of their means, that donated all kinds of stuff so that we could be here today. And that was part of the support system. Now the question for us is, what are we going to do moving forward? I want us to look at these ladies and see what was happening. They were in this together. Now I've kind of got my notes out of whack here. So I'm just kind of, if you want to take a break and see what's maybe check and see what the item is on the menu at the restaurant here. Okay, I'm sorry, I got out of whack here. That's terrible. Does that ever happen to you, anybody? Anybody over like 50 or so? Okay, that's great. So anyway, but I want to share this with you because it's an important point that got ahead of me, and that was you and I don't get to choose what we face in life. Okay, you know that, don't you? Right. We don't choose. We don't know from one day to another. I think every time at the hospital, I'm sitting with a family in a waiting room, nobody thought a week, 2 weeks, or maybe even the day before they were going to be in that waiting room. We don't get to choose what we do from day to day in a lot of respects, but we do get to choose who we do it with. And that's what I want us to think about as we talk about our support system here today. Very, very important, very important. It's more, and here is why we need a support system. Another thing before I get back into point number one, we need a support system because we live in a time where there are more ability or more opportunities to communicate. But at the same time, we're living in a time where there's more depression than ever before. More suicides, more hate crimes taking place, more activity like what we saw just a few days ago out in California. And it's all about this idea of, yeah, we've got all this communication, but do we have this connection? And that's why another reason I'm giving us this morning that we need to be together in this effort, together in this effort. Okay, now let's talk about it. These ladies, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, Salome, possibly others, were they here by chance or by choice? Well, we're going to learn that they were here by choice. They were here by choice. We need to understand as we walk through this, our support system is valuable. These women had come with Jesus all the way from Galilee. Now, for those of you who've been to Israel and seen the different places over there, Galilee is not like they went from Smithfield to Selma, okay? Galilee is not like they went from Selma to Parker City. Galilee is not like they went from Parker City to Farmland. Galilee was like 70 miles away, okay? And those places I described to you, there's not much difference in the elevation between those locations as well as the distance. Galilee, 600 feet below sea level. Jerusalem, 2,400 feet above sea level. There's about 3,000 feet there that they had to, and it was about a six-day journey. They were dedicated. They were committed. They were all in with Jesus. And that makes me think about this idea of better together. That's one of the key elements is we have to be in. We've got to be dedicated. I think about, I'm trying to learn how to be a runner. I'm still working on it. But the thing I've learned is that I'm not in it alone. I've had a great support system. And I think in any endeavor, I think about the football team, Monroe Central, all the football teams, it's not just a quarterback or a running back or an offensive or a defensive lineman. It's not, and when you start getting into basketball season, it's not about one particular player. It's an entire team that makes that work. I think about, you know, back in the day of Michael Jordan, greatest basketball, well, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan. Anyway, who knows? We'll find out someday. But anyway, Michael Jordan, pretty awesome player. Larry Bird, pretty awesome player. But those guys had people around like a Robert Parrish, a Kevin McHale, a Danny Ainge, Bill Walton, others that came alongside with the Celtics. Michael Jordan had a Scottie Pippen, a Dennis Rodman. It's that issue of this together. Our support system, is it based on the right thing? These women were brought together by Jesus. It's vital for us in this support system that we are focused on and supported in this thing called Jesus. The second thing is, the support system is formed before the crisis comes. I was thinking about this idea. These women have been with Jesus all the way back to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Now, there's a lot of stuff that happens between Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 23. Most of Jesus' ministry is taking place. It talked about how he went from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news, talked about the 12, and it mentions these women, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary, called Magdalene, whom seven demons had cast out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. Now listen to this. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. That's a valuable thing. When we get into this thinking of this team effort, it's more than showing up. It's also support with time and energy and money. These women were in it way back in Luke chapter 8. That's what brought them together. Jesus had healed them. They were doing life together. But at that point in Luke 8, they didn't know what was going to be happening on into Luke chapter 23 and in chapter 24. Now, I want to say something here, and I'll get right off of it real quick, okay? When the crisis came, they stuck together, okay? Now, I hate to say this, the disciples weren't around, okay? So all the ladies in the room for just like 2 minutes can say, this is awesome. The women pulled through. The men scattered. We won't go there anymore. Okay, thank you. Thank you, ladies, for not rising up and saying amen. And thank you, men, for not walking out. But anyway, yes. When you're together with people that you trust, there's something that happens. There's something that happens. It's more than just being in the same room. I've been in situations, and I'm not going to name families, but I've been in situations before where somebody has passed away. And you go to their home, and when you walk in, there's people everywhere. And they're there to love on the person who's lost a family member. They've brought food. They've brought a bunch of food. In fact, I've been in those situations where I got ready to leave and said, would you like something to eat? I'm like, no, I just wanted to come and just spend a minute. Well, take some food with you. We have more, because one of my reasons going is like, can we bring you food? And you walk in, there's food. Because there's a support system there. Have you been in those situations? And there are people there, and they're doing everything. They're watching the kids to take care of them. They're not just there saying, hey, what's to eat? They could care. The people that are sitting there could care less about eating. They're like, hey, can I help you do some laundry? Can I vacuum the floor? They're there to help in that. And that's what we are all about in this thing called the body of Jesus. We're here to support each other. We're here to support each other in this time. And so when the crisis comes, we're ready. We rally together. I'm thinking about this too. In chapter 24 of Luke, after this had happened and they had this crisis come up, they didn't go back to Galilee. If you've been into Jerusalem, you understand that in the first century, as well as the 21st century, housing was not readily available. Isn't that interesting? Those women could have just said, well, you know, Jesus is dead, he's gone, he's buried, let's go back home. But they were in it together. See, that's one of the things to me that is so valuable about doing life together as a church. That's so valuable. In fact, I get kind of scared. It's good to see Marty and Rebecca here today. I'm not scared. I guess I get a little disheartened when I know people are just kind of doing the church hopping thing, you know. It's kind of like what I call the flavor of the month, you know. And, oh, I like to go to this church because they have the music I like. Or I like to go to that church because they have this program I like. Or I like to go to that church because, man, the preacher, man, he's a preacher machine. Whoa, man, if every preacher just be like that preacher, you know, you've heard all that. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible talks about, you know. These women had something that had connected them, and it was Jesus. Jesus had ministered in their lives, and Jesus had touched them so much that they weren't looking around, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but making all these excuses about why the body was just going to be the body. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about Wednesday night and our big event here, reaching out to the community, and somebody, well, you know, there's so many people there, and it just gets to be, but this is our time to reach into the community and let them see the love of Jesus alive, and we can talk about it, and we can put it out on our sign, and we can hand out flyers. But when people come and see this body of people doing better together, life together, loving one another, supporting each other, that's what it matters all about. They were together, and Jesus was in their midst. Even when they didn't know what to do next, he was right there. He was speaking to them. I thought about that. I've got some random stuff I've thrown in here about my friend John. And Janie and I have been discipling, and she's done a better job at this than I have in helping to disciple John, who is here from China, who's now back in China. We just finished lesson 4. And in lesson 4, it talks about speaking to God. And John brought this up in a very curious and kind of inquisitive way. He's like, okay, we're talking about speaking to God. And he said, how does the God, he calls him, how does the God speak to us? And I thought, that's a good question. So we navigated through that, and we looked at it, and there are times you have this happen, I have this happen, I'm reading scripture, and it's like, boom, there it is. God just gives me something in that scripture. It's like, thank you, Lord. That was just one of those aha moments. It just means something. Every other book I've read or movies I've watched, it's like there's a plot, there's a theme, there's all this stuff, and you kind of just go along, and you're like, this is what the author. But in the Bible, there's something much more than that happens. It's like it's inspired in a very powerful, heavenly kind of way. You know, so we talked to John about that, and we talked about it happens as you pray. God will impress on your heart certain things, maybe people you need to go talk to and encourage or support. And we said, then also, and that's where it ties into the message this morning, there's this thing called Sunday school and home group and the worship service and those times when the body is together and God speaks to us and ministers to us in those times. It's about surrounding ourselves with the right people, the people that are listening and helping and laughing and crying that we're doing life with. It's so crucial. Let's look at the next idea, and that's this. The writer, actually not the writer, but Luke just records that Jesus is saying, or I should say those that appeared in Luke chapter 23, let me get my facts straight. Actually, chapter 24, the men in clothes that gleam like lightning, they ask this question, why do you look for the living among the dead? That's interesting because it wasn't just that moment on Easter that we celebrate and talk about and try to revisit every year. It's this idea of in our lives, as we're in this effort, are we focused on what we need to focus on? I get concerned sometimes in the life of the church, we focus on the dead. And we forget about the living. And we're in places we shouldn't be. Are there dead places in your life? Let's look at the next slide. As I came across this material, these were some things that were listed, and I thought this was really good. There are places, if we're not careful, as we're trying to do life together, that we can get sidetracked, that we can get off in the ditch. And listen, this could be maybe the most important part of the sermon, so hang with me for a couple minutes. Comparison. When we start comparing ourselves, and pastors, we do this. like, oh, this guy has this church, this lady has this church, and they have this ministry that's just exploding at the seams, and they're reaching hundreds and literally thousands of people. And why can't our church do that? And all of a sudden, we forgot what we're supposed to be doing. Or maybe we compare the other way. Well, our church is X this size, but we're not, you know. And parents, sometimes parents do that. Well, their child is this student that knows so many languages, and they've taken all these classes, these college prep classes in high school, and all this stuff. And it's like, why can't our kid do that, you know? We compare, and we forget what the mission is, this one body, this life better together. Or we compete then. And that's really a crazy thing that pastors do, and that I think about that because I live in the pastor's head a lot. And so I'm like, there's that competition between other ministries, and maybe we get tired of that and we just check out. Why even try? Why even compare? Why even compete? And so we just kind of, and I think at that point, maybe the disciples were kind of just checking out. They were actually hiding out, but they had checked out of what was going on. Or maybe we even go and start to compose and we pretend and we put on a mask. Sometimes people can't help us if all they see is everything's coming up roses. And maybe they need to see that, hey, you know what? I'm having a hard time at work. Now be careful when somebody does confess to you a need in their life, not to jump in and, like, if they say, hey, I'm having a hard time at work, don't jump in and say, well, you know, you think you had a hard time work. Back when I worked at Walmart, man, it was hard. I don't think anybody ever had it as hard as I did. And wait, what were you talking about? You know, I was like, no. When we do finally get open with each other and we finally confess and start praying for each other, that's where we gather real close to each other. And the blood of Jesus comes in and helps cleanse from a lot of stuff going on. Bring it to the light. Surround yourself with the right people. See, this is the thing. The enemy wants you to think that you're the only one that struggles with this. He wants you to think that you are isolated. That, to me, is a lot of the root of depression, is this idea of isolation. But the good news is we're called to do this together. We're going to spend more time in the weeks ahead. I just want to open that up today. And it's all about, even though you can't choose what your circumstances are, what crisis may come your way, we don't choose the crisis, but we can choose who we go through the crisis with. And I hope and pray that in the weeks ahead, we start feeling better together in this thing, that we do surround ourselves. I think Sweet has a great idea of this thought of all these indispensable relationships. We got to have those people in our lives, especially in the body of Jesus. I want to show you one more slide. I thought it was so fitting. Jane and I are reading through this book. Let's go to the next slide if we could. We're reading through this book by Christine Kane. Is it Not Wanting to Cooperate? There he is. All right. If you ever see any of her material, I suggest you read it, find it, devour it. She's a lady that has dealt with a lot of baggage in her past, but has not dwelt on that, but has taken that, and God has used that to help minister to women all over the planet who are caught in human trafficking and all kinds of other issues in their lives. And I thought this was so good. She put that on Twitter. I found that this week on Twitter. There it is. It just says it all. There's the sermon. If you don't get anything else, you can see it on my Facebook page. I posted that the other day. We aren't meant. Let's say this together. We aren't meant to go through life alone. This life journey is long, and that's why God created us to live connected to one another. I always find it beneficial to be surrounded by people who can encourage me while also holding me accountable. We are all better together. I had the sermon done before I found that quote. I thought, wow, I could have saved myself a significant amount of time. And just like Christine Kane said, if you ever get to hear her on a podcast, look her up. If you ever get to read her books, look them up and read them. It's just so powerful what God's doing in her ministry. But this is it. We aren't meant to go through life alone. This life journey is long. That's why God created us to live connected. To live connected. I always find it beneficial to be surrounded by people who can encourage me while holding me accountable. We are all better together. I'd like to pray with you, and then I want to hand out some sheets to you that talk about this whole idea of better together. Jesus, this morning, I understand that we have lots of needs in our church family. I think about just a while ago in Sunday school, and what a great group there. We were just opening up and giving praise for different answers. testifying about the way you're working in the lives of people in the class and members of the people in the class and family members in Jesus, there are also some needs. There are also some needs. So thankful that John and Virginia are able to be here this morning, and there's a need for continued strength and healing in his life. Thankful that Brenda's been out, is out of the hospital, and for Deb being out of the hospital, some physical needs in their lives. Others that are facing tests and surgeries and procedures, they need our prayers. Others that are dealing with, we think of Mindy Rodifer, who came through this week to vote, who's dealing with some further treatments, cancer-related things. Think of a lady in a spinning class that just found out that her little four-year-old got leukemia. Crazy, bad, needs our prayers. And I'm sure there are many others today that need our prayers. Father, I'm so thankful, whether we're in a nursing home or a funeral home or wherever we're at and dealing with situations or a hospital room, that we're there together. I think of yesterday mourning the loss of Jerry Springer's wife, Sherry. That, Father, there were people that were filling up that chapel. They were doing it together. I pray, Lord, that as the body of Jesus, we will capture that, and that we will truly live in that mantra of better together. As we are under the banner of Jesus, just like those ladies there in Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 23, that they just said, you know what, Jesus has done this for me. We're going to do this for each other, and we're going to be there for him through the end. Not until the end, but through the end. May it be so in each person that's here this morning, from the church family, for visitors, for anybody who's here, that we're doing this together. Home groups that gather tonight, we're doing life together. Wednesday night when we celebrate and give thanks, we're doing it better together. What a great time, Jesus. And I pray that in the midst, I just want to take a moment, Lord, in this prayer, for those who are lonely here today, for those who feel isolated, for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. And sometimes this time of year, as we move into Thanksgiving and into Christmas, those names and those faces kind of get stuck in our mind. And may we sense the comfort of a great and awesome God. May we also sense the comfort of the body of Jesus as we are better together, as we're better together. May you fill us, and may others around us join in that filling as well. In Jesus' name, amen.